يعني Yeah, we should have all commissioners except for Andrew Christopher. He couldn't be on today. So, all right. So the recording started. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission meeting of Wednesday, August 12th, 2026, called to order at 12:02. And could we have roll call, please?
Okay. Alice Sadongi?
Here.
Blake Houghton?
Blake, I see you on there. Are you, you're on mute. You're here? Yeah, I see him in the list. You want to just come back to him?
Yes, I can come back. Carlos Lozano?
Here.
Courtney Marks?
Here.
Gary Miner?
Here.
Helen Erickson?
Here.
JJ Lamb?
Here.
Jessica Bassey?
Here.
Kathy Kubisch?
Kathy, you're on mute. Are you on mute? You're on mute, Kathy.
Here.
Thank Did you get that, Stacey? Okay.
Yes. Ken Scoville?
Present.
Mauro Trejo?
Here.
Rhonda Kendrick?
I'm here.
Savannah McDonald?
Here.
Terry Majewski?
Here.
Tim Haggard?
Here.
And Blake Houghton?
Here.
Perfect.
Still can't hear me. Oh, you can. Great.
Yes, we can.
I
hear
heard you that time.
Yay.
15?
Okay, I have 15.
Very good. Okay. Item 2 is land acknowledgement. Commissioner Lozano, could you help us with that, please?
Be glad to. On behalf of the residents of the City of Tucson, the City of South Tucson, and Pima County, we honor the tribal nations who have served as caretakers of this land from time immemorial and respectfully acknowledge the ancestral homelands, the Tohono-O'odham Nation, and the multi-millennial presence of the Pascua-Yaqui tribe within Pima County. Consistent with the TPCHC's commitment to diversity and inclusion, we strive toward building equal partner relationships with Arizona's tribal nations.
Great. Thank you very much. Before I move on to item 3, I wanted to ask Claire, could you tell us who you're affiliated with, Claire Mays?
Yes, I'm with the City of Tucson.
Okay, great.
Conservation Department.
Oh, great. Perfect. Thank you. Okay, thank you, thank you. All right, so let's move on to item 3. Could we have the approval of the TPCHC minutes from the meeting of 7-8-2026 as submitted, please? Who will move that?
When is this, Rhonda? I'll move to approve it.
Thank you. Okay, and who will second?
Helen will second.
Okay, great. Is there any discussion on those minutes? Okay, if not, could we have roll call, please?
Alice Sadongi?
Aye.
Andrew Christopher?
Not here.
Blake Houghton?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Gary Miner?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
JJ Lamb?
Aye.
Jessica Bassey?
Jessica,
sorry,
are you on mute?
I was on mute. Yeah, I was on mute. Sorry.
Got it. Thank you. Okay. Kathy Kubisch?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Yes.
Marwa Trejo?
Aye.
Rhonda Kendrick?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes 15-0.
Great, thank you very much. Okay, item 4 is chairperson summary of current events. I wanted to briefly mention last month, did we discuss at all the pending changes to the Section 106 regulations? Or hadn't that happened yet? Okay. So the Advisory Council on Historic Preservation, which is currently made up of not so many preservationists, has brought forward some really devastating changes to Section 106 regulations that govern much of the cultural heritage management work done by federal agencies, but affect many other entities as well. They told folks on a Thursday that they were bringing it to a vote the next day, and they also had promised really extensive interested party and stakeholder consultation on that before they, you know, the idea was to review and improve the regs if possible, not to completely gut them. So the next step, it goes to the Office of Management and Budget, and then it goes to published in the Federal Register, and for something so extensive as they may put out there, they normally give a long comment period, but it may be 30 days only, which is the minimum they can do, unless they do an emergency rule. And so this is all set up to, in an anti-regulatory framework, right? So what I'm going to ask you all is, I mean, I can send you some information once the American Cultural Resources Association puts a resource thing out there, and I may be able to share that link with you. So it's very important that companies that do this kind of work, any people that can comment in agencies, individuals, your brother and sister, your parents, anybody can do this. It's very important. And there's been a little pushback. There's a little bit of step back by the ACHP because of the huge outpouring about this situation. It's very, very serious. So, just wanted to let you know you might get something from me, and it's worth it if you care about preservation. And you all do, I'm sure. Okay, so item 5 is Karen, recently posted. Oh, I'm sorry, Ken, do you have a question?
Yeah, I had my hand up. I know Daniel's been working really hard on this, and I think all of us can just feel comfortable in assuming the worst on this, given everything else that's going on. And the OMB person is part of Project 2025, and they're trying, you know, if you follow this at all, they're dismantling most of the structures and regulatory nature of what's in the government now. So it's a tremendous concern for anybody that cares about anything, just for preservation
exactly.
of natural resources, everything.
But our remit on the Historical Commission is on this type of thing. Preservation fits within what we do. You know, I encourage you all to comment on other regulatory issues to your heart's content.
Can we do a letter as a body, or have you done something already as a whole body?
No, there's the thing is, it's not time to comment yet because we haven't seen the fully published reg yet. We don't know exactly what it's going to say, and it's best for people to wait until these organizations that do advocacy for a living to put out the points, and then you can choose what you want to include in your response. And just two things, AI should never be used in responses in any way because they're going to discount that comment. And, you know, if you personalize it and individualize it, it's very important. I mean, what it's done for your community, you know, how it, whatever. There'll be lots of resources to use when it comes out, but there's, it's not time to comment yet because it's not posted in the Federal Register.
The last thing, I would be suspicious that even the way it's posting, the way this is done from here on out is going to be of a different nature. So that's why.
It might be. They may say that that it goes into effect because of an emergency rule, you know, and they can do that, but they still have to have public comment. So there will be, you know, anyway, just I will keep you informed and you choose to respond through some other organization that you're part of and following.
Okay.
Because we all have our own things. But the big organizations that support preservation are the ones that are doing the homework, talking to legislators. We're going to get the best information from them that can make the most impact. You know? And I'm not sure I can ask if they want the commission to do a letter. We would have time after our next meeting. So, alrighty. Thank you. It's not great news. Item 5 is recently posted subcommittee LAR/minutes. Those are available as they're posted at that link if you're interested in things. Item 6 is removal appointments to commission subcommittees, working groups, and so on. I don't have any at this time. Item 7 is reports from City of Tucson, Pima County, and City of South Tucson staff. 7A is City of Tucson Historic Preservation Office. Desiree, Johnny?
Yes. Yes. Hello, everyone. I'm Desiree Aranda, Historic Preservation Officer. First, I wanted to announce that we have an intern for the Historic Preservation Office this fall. Her name's Claire Maves. She'll be working with us. This is her third week, and we're very excited to have her on board. So I wanted to give her a moment to introduce herself to the commission.
Great. Go ahead, Claire.
Hi, I'm Claire. I'm currently wrapping up my master's in applied archaeology at the University of Arizona. I've worked with CAPLA for the past year on a historic structure report for the Great House at Casa Grande, and I'm just really interested in heritage conservation and historic preservation, community engagement, and community-based research, and all of those fields.
Great. Thank you, Claire. Welcome. Yeah. Glad you're here.
Yeah. Yes, really excited to have her here. We're also continuing our recruitment for the Historic Preservation Lead Planner. We have an offer out there. So hopefully by the next month's meeting, I'll have some good news. On our survey and designation front, we are kicking off our Historic Resource Survey Phase 1 for the City of Tucson Parks and Recreation Facilities. So we got a Heritage Fund grant through the state of Arizona. For this project, we will be working with Logan Simpson with Helen Erickson as a sub-consultant on that project. So we're partnering with our Parks and Recreation staff who will have a piece kind of related to community engagement. And Claire will also be working on that project too. So we'll be taking, you know, drafts and at different points in the project to the Historic Landscape Subcommittee for input. And we'll also be talking with them about how they, you know, any other opportunities or ways that they see themselves potentially plugging into that project. On the designation front, we do have a designation moving forward for Tucson City Hall. So that's a historic landmark designation. And the next step in that process is a neighborhood meeting that is part of the required rezoning process. So that meeting will be held Monday, August 31st at 5:30 p.m. at the City Council Chambers. So all are welcome to attend if you would like. And then I'm going to hand it over to Johnny to give us some updates on our compliance work.
Howdy. Thank you, Desiree. So on August 5th, Mayor and Council approved by consent the HUD programming programmatic agreement with the State Historic Preservation Office. It just needs about one more signature, and then it will be considered executed. So really happy about that, to be able to streamline some of our compliance processes. The Historic Preservation Office has also completed a draft revision of its Administrative Directive 1077 regarding protection of archaeological and historical resources, and will be presenting to internal city staff and department heads next week in order to kind of get their thoughts on it. And so we're also looking forward to that, and we'll update the working group when we have updates about that. And then finally, on Monday, City of Tucson contractors who were conducting pavement milling on 17th Street, kind of near Five Points, as part of Proposition 411 mill fill activities, encountered a section of historical period trolley tracks that were previously thought to be destroyed. The trolley was in use from circa 1900 to 1930. This track will be preserved in place and paved over. And this is kind of similar to how the City of Tucson manages the extant historical period trolley tracks under South 4th Avenue. And that's all I have. Carlos?
Sorry, I was on mute. Go ahead, Carlos.
Thanks. Say, Desiree, thanks for helping us out last month, alerting us to the mayor and council discussing the large quantity, the large-scale data center amendment. I guess that went to mayor and council on August 5th, and it passed. And did you have any updates on that? Or also, are you aware of, I thought I heard that the large quantity water users ordinance amendment is going to be reviewed in September. And if you could do the same thing you did last month with us on that, that would be great, because I think we need to do a follow-up.
Sure. Yes. So that was the regulations proposed for the data centers or, large scale water users was approved by mayor and council with a friendly amendment to potentially not permit these types of developments from happening kind of whole scale. And so that consideration will be, looked at. I don't know the date, but I can follow up with you all once we have that.
Okay, great. Thanks. And I did want to let the commission know that so one of our recommendations, which was sort of pie in the sky, was to continue to look for solutions to the Prop 207 challenges. And it turns out that that's not so pie in the sky after all. I think Ward 6 was very much in favor of that, and Councilmember Schubert actually offered to sort of have her office be the headquarters for that type of work, and I believe that Mayor and Council directed Tim Tamir to do a some sort of a report on 207, just to see if there's any other communities in Arizona that have come across any legal defenses to a challenge, because, all right, I guess what we were saying is we just don't want to just give up. I mean, you can at least continue to monitor these things, and because that's pretty much, I think, what the community is looking for is some way to do a moratorium. But, and then I wanted to say that in all my research and reaching out to different people, the smartest people in the room are always the U of A Kapla urban planners, they helped to educate mayor and council and a lot of the other stakeholders. Anyway, thanks. I just wanted to add that too.
Thank you, Carlos. Anyone else have a question for Desiree or Johnny? Okay. Thank you both. All right. Item 7B is Pima County Cultural Resources and Historic Preservation Office. And I think, Courtney, were you going to begin? And then I see also that Scott and Charlotte are on from your office, right?
Yes. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Scott and Charlotte are here with me for our update. And I'll start with some updates from Ian and incorporate some others from our preservation program. First is the consultation with Tribal Nations Board of Supervisors policy, which Ian Milliken has been discussing over the last several months. The an update on that is that a final draft was sent out for consultation at the end of June, and responding tribes have indicated they approve of the final language. Our team went to Tupwa to the four Southern Tribes Cultural Resources Working Group meeting at the end of June, and Ian was able to present an update on the policy at that time. Next week, there will be a four Southern Tribes Cultural Resources Working Group meeting hosted by Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community, and I believe Charlotte will be able to provide an update at that time during that meeting. And the next step is that Ian will be scheduling a study session with the Board of Supervisors on this policy, and that's standard before it would advance for adoption. At the study session, the board will be able to ask questions on the policy, and they will also be reviewing the county's land acknowledgement statement in the same study session. And along the lines of some of the text and that we're incorporating into the policy are some of the goals that we will be working on in the long term and over the next year in our new preservation program. So as I mentioned last time, Charlotte Hart and I have been working on our program goals, and we would like to continue to update you on those and possibly give a presentation maybe in October or November when there's some time in the agenda. And Charlotte, how about would you be able to mention your goal on plants and agave?
Sure thing. Thanks, Courtney. So one of my goals overall, I think, for my career, but especially coming in to this amazing position that's been created, is to bring together the natural and cultural worlds and help across the divisions of CLR. And there was already a lot of groundwork there, but so I've been working with Ian Murray on agave species, on the anthropogenic agave species that Wendy Hodgson and Andrew Saliwan out of the Desert Botanical Gardens have been publishing a lot on, so that we can start looking at the sites that we manage and see if we have these, I like to think of them as living artifacts, on the landscape, in the sites that we know we have that have, agave agricultural features. And in addition, I don't know if any of you have, heard of the work of Ed Jolie. He's, at the University of Arizona with a joint, position with the State Museum. And he's doing a lot of research into, Devil's Claw, specifically, Proboscidea parviflora variety Hoho camiana. So it's only one variety there, not even a whole different species, but it is thought of as another plant that was essentially genetically modified by the ancestors of the Sonoran Desert. So I've been working again with other division folks to, you know, kind of educate them that there are these plants out there and to keep their eyes open, and be able to mark that down in GIS systems when they're out doing their work, so that then we have more data to start building, you know, the more you know. So yeah, that's where we're starting on the plant side, and then how that relates then into tribal partners and any sort of collection updates. So
thank you, Charlotte.
Go ahead.
I'll continue with some general updates. One is the Silverbell Road widening. Segment 3 procurement is ongoing for cultural resources consultant, and contracting is expected in October or November. And the next update, the Arizona Governor's Tourism Award, Supervisor Cano and our director, Chris Gade and Ian Milliken, are attending the AZ Governor's Tourism Award dinner on Thursday to accept an award honoring the 25th anniversary of the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan. And there's also another celebration for the Multi-Species Conservation Plan, the 10-year anniversary, and that is on this Saturday, August 15th, celebrating 10 years event at the Sonora Desert Museum. All are welcome, but we would appreciate an RSVP, and please let me know if you would like any of that information forwarded to the commission. Also, Empire Ranch is celebrating their 150th on Saturday from this coming 8/22 from 9 to 1, and the county sponsored the event. And I think that's about it. I would have to say that we continue to receive a large volume of compliance projects coming in from outside individual companies and private development, some internal Pima County projects, and we continue the recruitment for a Pima County staff person to be the next compliance manager in our group. And I should also mention that the Pima County Planning and Zoning Commission, at that hearing, they approved the historic landmark designation, zoning overlay designation for the Charles E. Cox House, and on July 29th. And the next step is to bring that to the next public hearing, which is the Board of Supervisors meeting, possibly in September or October. And that's it. Great. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Any questions for Courtney or Charlotte?
Or Scott. Does Scott have anything?
Scott, sorry.
No problem. No, I don't. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, Scott's on the second page. That's why I didn't see you. Oh, there you are. Okay. Oh, JJ has a question. You're on mute, JJ.
Sorry. and this is a very current event out here in Vail. And I just wonder if there's any kind of county interaction that this event might trigger. So Sandy Lake, which looks to me like it's part of a remnant of a historic landscape at Rancho Del Lago. And the Vail Water Company, the golf course, HOA, it appears, here's what it looks like to me. They are cutting off the water. The residents are really concerned. They have, you know, reached out to many organizations, and Vail Preservation Society is one. And I'm pretty sure the county was included on that, and Supervisor Christie. So they have grave concerns about this. Not only from a historic and quality of life, because they all really enjoy this lake, but it is a stopover for wildlife. And those kinds of places out here are rapidly disappearing. I guess my question is, would the water company, would the HR, are they required before doing an action like this? Is there anyone that they have to get an okay from, or can they just do it? Anyway, that's my question, and I don't expect you to be able to answer that right now necessarily. I want to, you know, bring it to everyone's attention. And this is a real current event that's happening, you know, right now.
Thank you, Commissioner Lamb, for the update that I hadn't heard about until you sent us that email. And I appreciate you bringing that to our attention. And it seems like once that water is cut off, the lake could be dried up pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I see that there is some urgency to this. And we are interested in maintaining the wildlife landscape, which is wholly connected to the cultural landscape with the Cienega Creek Natural Preserve. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not sure I just sent the information to Scott O'Mac. I think he did some work on the Cienega Dam. And maybe if he looks at that and we'll discuss this together. Right off the top of my head, I'm not seeing how the connection could be made with, for instance, development services being involved, but I will find out. And so I don't have an answer today.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. No. And thank you. I appreciate that. And real quick, I'm just going to bring up another thing that when Charlotte was speaking, this came to mind. Out at Colossal Cave Mountain Park and where the stables are, there are some agave roasting pits. And I'm happy to show you guys where they're at. I could not ever find them in the archaeological report that was done, maybe 25 years, 30 years ago now. But anyway, they might be relevant to what
she's working. Thank you, JJ. That's mm-hmm. that's exciting. I would love to take you up on that.
Okay. Oh, good.
Thank you.
Okay, and that's all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, Courtney, do you have anything else you want to share, or are you good?
I am good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Let's move on to item 7C, which is City of South Tucson. I don't think Josue Lucia is here, but Carlos, did you want to report?
Yeah, if you don't mind. Yeah, I met with City of South Tucson and Ward 5 because Ward 5 completely surrounds City of South Tucson. And we talked about a number of things, but I only want to report on one thing and then make a motion. So some of you may know that on 29th Street, there's an old livestock exchange. Some people call it a cattle auction. It's a little tiny building. It's the last surviving building of a feedlot where cattle were driven up as late, I think, as maybe the 40s or 50s. And City of South Tucson is interested in restoring and repurposing that building, and they may have a shot at it. It sounds they have a good plan. One of the people that was present at the meeting was former Commissioner Riojas, and she knew a lot about that whole process, and so I think it's a really good idea. And so I wanted to make a motion that TPCHC write a letter of recommendation on this project. So I move that the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission write a letter of recommendation regarding the historic livestock auction at 504 West 29th Street, including the following recommendations: nomination of the property to historic landmark status at the local, county, state, or federal level, restoration which would meet Secretary of Interior standards, transferring the property to the City of South Tucson, and adaptive reuse benefiting the community. And then this letter would be addressed to the current owners and CCing all relevant stakeholders.
Okay, who would like to second that motion?
I'll second.
Mauro? Okay, so let me... All right, is there any further discussion? If not, let us have a roll call vote, please.
Okay. Alice Sadangi?
Aye.
Blake Houghton?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Gary Miner?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
JJ Lim?
Aye.
Jessica Bassey?
Aye.
Kathy Kubisch?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Ken, are you on mute? Ken. Did Ken drop off? No, he's here.
I see him on here still.
Ken, are you there on mute or can you hear us? Let's come back to him.
Okay. Mauro Trejo?
Hi.
Rhonda Kendrick?
Hi.
Savannah McDonald?
Hi.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes 15-0.
Great, thank you. Okay, Carlos, did you have anything else?
No, but if any of the commissioners present, like Commissioner Trejo, have any information about that building, I would love to hear it, because there's very little information to go on. It's going to be really difficult to find historic images, so anybody that can help out would be great. And there are people that they, you know, their parents and grandparents, you know, have personal experiences with that. We'd love to hear about that, too. But thanks, you guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
That location was where my grandfather asked his father to asked for my grandmother's hand in marriage in 1934. But that was Tucson's stockyards for that line of the railroad. That was where our stockyards were.
Wow. Okay, hold on just a second, and I'll call in Helen and Rhonda. But, Carlos, could you email that motion to me and to Tracy and Annie? And you've got their emails, I'm sure.
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you. Helen?
Yes, there is a report on that, excuse me, there is a report on that building. When we did a project on the El Paso and Southwestern Railroad, that was one of the buildings included, and I can dig out that information for you, Carlos.
Thank you very much, both of you. Yeah.
And Rhonda?
That's great. Commissioner Lozano, I'd like to work on that once it gets into some further stages on behalf of Ward 5. If there's anything that we can, you know, I can take to Council of Rojas and we can start helping, I'd like to join.
Sure. I'm sorry I didn't invite you to the meeting. I should, but we'll definitely keep you in the loop, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for that coordination, Carlos, and for being proactive on that. It's really nice. So let's move on then to 7D, which is Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility. And I see that Lydia is here, Lydia Barker. Hopefully still. Lydia, are you still here? Yes. And you're on mute, maybe? Can't hear you.
No, I think she's trying to speak, but the audio's not coming through.
How's this?
Oh, there you are.
That work?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. Hi. Good afternoon. So per request, I'm going to take a few minutes to just give a brief, very high-level overview of the First Avenue Improvement Project. This is a very large RTA project from River Road to Grant Road. I'll share my screen here. We're kind of in this public engagement phase where we're trying to get comments on this draft concept report that just came out a few weeks ago. So I'm just quickly going to show you where to find this report in case you want to look this up. So this is the First Avenue Improvement Project website. If you go to the About page and scroll about halfway down, you can find it here under Final Draft Design Concept Report. This is almost a 200-page document, which I appreciate is not very digestible. So I'll show you some key things in here that I think will be of interest to the committee. So like I said, it goes from River to Grant Road. Some of the improvements include complete connected sidewalks, lighting, full roadway reconstruction, enhanced bus stops. So this project kind of has everything. I wanted to show page 42, which shows some of our different alignments that we're looking at and some of the parcels that it could potentially affect in terms of acquisition from the city. So I'm not prepared to speak on each individual parcel. However, I did reach out to Carlos, and it sounds like next week we will be having our DTN admin, Patrick Hartley, who's been plugged into this project, present at the Historical Commission's Transportation Subcommittee meeting. So if folks are interested in kind of getting in deeper to this project, maybe checking out the draft design concept report prior to that, and coming prepared with some questions for Patrick, I think that would be an opportune time. We'll be in this engagement phase through August, so we do have some time for you all to connect with the project team and provide your comments on maybe individual parcels that are of interest. Any general questions on First Ave? I see Kevin's hand is up.
Yes. Question, though, have you done any what level of any on historic preservation properties along the corridor?
Yeah, again, I would save that question for Patrick. He's been really plugged in since design started. I don't know individual parcels that may be affected that are also designated historic. So,
I was just going to say, it's almost going to be like a matrix. Which parcel do you take to the alignment based on historic resources, at least from my perspective, on along this route? And this is my main connector to downtown and lots of things, so I'm very familiar with the corridor, as probably almost everyone is.
Yeah,
and there's one other little piece where it's right next to the boondocks, just to the south. It's sort of like in the good old days, Tucson would just dump all the water in the street to get the project going. But what are they going to do with that parcel? How are they going to deal with the water there and maybe try and make it into a little bit of a park, green space, some kind of gathering space? I know there is a gathering space right now for homeless. But how would that seem to be a resource that something creatively could be done with?
Yeah, that's a great point. I know that there are funds for green stormwater infrastructure and drainage improvements, so that could be part of the kind of next phase of design. So I would recommend you bring those questions to Patrick next week if you're interested.
Oh, I probably will. Thank you.
Great. Jonathan, you had a question?
Yeah, I just want to kind of chime in real quick and just say like that, you know, as part of like City of Tucson Historic Preservation Policy, you know, historic preservation reports and technical reporting will need to go through our office for review before any project gets initiated.
Okay, so
yes, and this also includes the reconstruction of the First Avenue Bridge over the Rito River. So that's also a part of this project as well.
So, Jonathan, you were just informing Lydia of that?
Yeah, she and Ken of that. You know, HDR has done a class 3 survey of the city of Tucson right away, but I'm unaware of any technical reporting about any of the parcels on either side. But that would definitely need to be done.
One other quick comment, and this is, even though some people might think I'm a little batty, bad pun coming up, but is the new bridge going to address the bat habitat? Because like the Campbell Avenue Bridge, there's tremendous amount of bat habitats going on underneath the bridges. So I wonder if that's been looked at also or considered.
Well, if there's a conservation group that the first ag project has been in coordination with, but I don't know the details about that.
Okay, but that's another, because the Trader Joe's, it used to be a big gathering all the time to watch the bats fly, and they tried to tone that down later on.
Yeah.
But it's just major habitat and nesting areas, so it adds to the color of the area.
Great. Well, that's all I have for First Ave. If there are no further questions, I'm also happy if anyone has any other project-specific questions that I can investigate for the group.
J.J. Lamb has one.
Hi, Lydia. Okay, so, and I just heard about this. Tucson fairly recently has annexed in the Vail area some additional land that, so Colossal Cave Road on up to Trotter Sisters Way. And like I said, I just heard about this. They're planning to install a traffic light on Colossal Cave Road and Trotter Sisters Way. And so I'm just, would be great to, see where that project is right now, hear about what the plans are, the timing, and all of that. I believe that Colossal Cave Road in that area and south towards the interstate is designated a scenic roadway or byway, and at that particular intersection is a placemaking public art installation that was installed in 2016 as part of the Colossal Cave Road widening project. And that particular project was in large part funded by Vail Preservation Society. And so that's the Historic Preservation / Historical Society out in the Greater Vail area. So anyway, I'd just like to put that on your radar screen and hope to, as a stakeholder, hear more about this.
Could you project. Say again what the cross street was? It was Colossal Cave Road and
Trotter Sisters.
I'll do my investigations. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Lydia, do you have Helen's contact information?
Oh, yeah. You know what? My email is all lowercase, no spaces, vailpreservationsociety@gmail.com. Yeah. And thank you very much.
Thanks. Any other questions or issues for Lydia? If not, we really appreciate you being here today, Lydia. Thank you so much. Okay, we'll move on to item 8, TPCHC Subcommittee, Other Committee, Council Commission Status Reports. 8A is Plans Review Subcommittee. Desiree?
Sure. So we had, at the last meeting on July 23rd, there was a courtesy review of proposed facade updates for the new building proposed adjacent to the historic Fox Theater. That would be along Stone Avenue. The applicant got feedback from the committee and has indicated that they plan to return to PRS in the future after refining their design. The historic landmark nomination for the Bonadonte House at 5111 East Citrus Street was recommended for approval. That was a proposal from the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. So it is a private initiated landmark designation. So that should be moving forward, and I can keep you posted on the next public meeting about that. I did want to let you know there are two proposed demolitions of accessory buildings, both garage with attached carports made of corrugated steel in Armory Park in the HPZ that have gone through the review process. So they went to the Historic Preservation Zone Advisory Board and also went through PRS. In both cases, they were recommended for demolition and the replacement plan were recommended for approval. And so those are going to Mayor and Council on August 18th. And in both cases, it was mostly the condition of those buildings that was a justification for and moving forward. And in one case, it's already been demolished. So they're requesting approval after the fact. And lastly, we have PRS tomorrow, and there will be a courtesy review for proposed street lamp lighting options in John Spring National Register Historic District. So DTM will be there and presenting some options. And the kind of impetus for that is there's a need to update the lamps or the street lighting to meet dark skies policy. So just looking at options for, you know, how to have compatible or as closely compatible to existing lighting that's there now, but that also meets those dark sky policy. And that's it. Unless Terry, you have anything else to add?
No, I'm good. Does anyone have a question for Desiree? Okay, well, thank you very much. 8B is Downtown Neighborhoods and Residents Council. Commissioner Haggard.
We did not meet this month, so I don't have anything to report.
No meeting in August. Okay, item 8C is Historic Landscape Subcommittee.
Yes, we also did not meet. Our next meeting is September 2nd.
Okay, let me just write that down. Okay, item 8D is Transportation Subcommittee. Commissioner Lozano.
Thanks, Terry. We met last month and we'll meet this month, third Wednesday of the month at noon. I just have one item. I mean, everything is in process, but one item that we did talk about that I'm not sure about. So the Butterfield stage route at the Project Blue site, does anyone from the county know how that might be being monitored? Is there like a site steward, or how do we know that Project Blue is complying with their agreement that they made with the county?
Thank you for the question, Commissioner Lozano. I don't have a monitoring plan set up with that. Sometimes there are site checks from development services, but maybe this is something we can discuss to make sure they are keeping that commitment. As far as I know, that area was not in the development plan at all. So since it's the footprint was not going to cover that portion of the trail at all, that was approved by development services. So they should not be in there at all with grading or any other type of building or any type of disturbance.
I see. Okay, yeah, I wasn't clear on that. All right, thanks a lot, Courtney. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's all I have, Terry.
Okay, Commissioner.
Yes. Did someone else have a question?
Oh, this is JJ. I just wanted to say I think Carla's concern is really legitimate. There's an incredible amount of clear blading. They are acting very quickly. They are using water that they're not authorized to use. I think they're not that concerned that the rules apply to them. I'll just say that. And that's the most diplomatic way I can express how they're progressing.
Okay. Then I think our next comment is from Ken.
Yes. I would hope, because I know in a lot of sites, if there's physical resources and environment resources, they get a grading fence. I think this parcel that's supposed to be left alone, there should be some kind of grading fence or something around it so they can't go, oh, we didn't know or we goofed or something like that. If there's a fence up there, the malicious intent might become more of a concern.
Yes. Commissioner Scoville, that is correct. When I do review plans, even at the tentative plat stage, and we're doing preservation plans, most of the time there is some sort of delineation that might say sensitive area, and there's a fence. It really depends, because we don't want to attract people there at the same time. So it's really a balance, and it just depends. But I think in this case there may be a fence, but I'll have to go back and check the plans. I can update you on the next meeting for that.
Everybody concerned about this. It's mm-hmm. this so easy to go, oops, after the mm-hmm. fact, especially if there's malicious intent. It's so. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Mauro.
Mine doesn't have to do with this topic. Are we off that topic? Can I ask another question?
Okay.
It's just about the Spanish Trail building, if you know
go
anything.
Go ahead.
Commissioner Lozano.
Yeah, thanks.
Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, he did. I understood his question. Yeah, thank you. I was going to comment on that, but it's a tough situation because City of South Tucson is attempting to, I believe, force the owner to demolish or to finish, you know, the demolition that was caused by the fire. And for them, you know, I've talked to them, and any efforts at salvage or anything like this seems to throw a wrench in the works of what they want to get done. And they're really persistent about getting this done. I think they filed a lawsuit. So it's tough, you know, but if you wanted to meet with them, I'd be glad to do that, or I can let you know next time I'm going to meet with them so we can reiterate our concerns, because I agree with you. I think that there are a few historic fragments that still should be preserved, but maybe I'll get a hold of you privately, okay?
Carlos, I have a follow-up question.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, Ken?
I can't remember. It's been a while. Did they do an arson investigation?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's so... it didn't happen by accident, you know?
Well,
I mean, everybody knows that. But, I mean, it's... Yeah, it would either be... I mean, I don't know what you'd consider a homeless... fire for warmth, or if it was a, you know, like a fraud type of a insurance fraud. I don't really know.
Okay. Well, it just seems like arson aspects need to just be checked out, because there were several buildings downtown in the good old days, or even back 30 years ago, that were arson. And so I just think it should be a better policy to have that be sort of a check mark along the way that somebody investigates, even on a rudimentary level, for arson.
Well, yeah, you're right. And they've had four major fires. City of South Tucson had four major fires of historic buildings. But maybe, and I hate to admit it, I do not know if City of South Tucson uses the county fire. Does anyone from the county know that? Anyway, well, I'll follow. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think I saw a for sale sign out there again.
Yeah, yeah.
Driving by a couple of days ago.
Sure.
Anyway.
And remember, it's two separate parcels. So the historic one, or the one we're calling historic, is one parcel now. And then the apartments, that low income housing, or whatever you might call it, that's a separate parcel. So, and they've both been controversial, both of them now.
Okay, thank you. Item 8E is Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. Commissioner McDonald.
Hi, they had to cancel the commission meeting this month because they didn't have due notice requirement, or the notice that's required, so no report.
Okay, item 8F is Budget Subcommittee, and I don't have a report, though we'll probably, Budget Subcommittee, need to have a meeting later in August or early September. Item 8G, Outreach and Training Subcommittee.
This is JJ. The Outreach and Training Subcommittee is not meeting in August. We will meet again in September. But we would like to report that Commissioner Trejo continues to make really great progress towards holding a training workshop for realtors. Oops.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, I have like four dogs, but I also wanted to say that we really appreciate the suggestions sent over by Tucson Historic Preservation Officer Amanda. They're really helpful.
Great, thank you. Item 8H is the Event Subcommittee. I wanted to mention that on August 20th, a week from tomorrow, there'll be a celebration of all things Tucson 251 plus, and it will be at the Presidio from 6:30 till 10, and I will send an invite. I have it queued up to send right after the meeting to commissioners and to folks and city and county staff. As I've mentioned, I think in previous meetings, this will be a much toned down event, but there will be food, music, a little bit of speechifying, visiting a more relaxed atmosphere, because it wasn't impossible to do a major deal. And they're also, it's great, they're going to have different organizations with sort of pop-up museum displays about the history of Tucson and other things. So it would be great if you can stop by and, as commissioner, support this event. Okay, JJ, did you have a question?
I had a quick comment that I meant to include with my report. So the Outreach and Training Committee will also have commission binders available. So if, as a commissioner, you have not received your commission binder, or if you're on a board, or if you're staff, we will have some there.
That'd be great. Thank you for mentioning that. I appreciate it. And Commissioner Kubisch is volunteering as a member of the event subcommittee to woman the table, the welcome table, and pass out little programs. And you might want to coordinate with her and just leave them there like we've done in the past, right? And then we'll just keep track, Kathy, of who picks them up so we know. Okay, that'd be great. And
yeah,
any other?
Yeah, we do. Have a list of who has them. So, we'll have a sign in.
Okay, and any other event subcommittee members, it would be great if you could be there to help with various things that always need doing. So if you have questions, just email me and let me know. Item 8I is the Preservation Awards Subcommittee. As I've mentioned in the past, we're going to hold our event in conjunction with the Time Capsule event on November 14th, probably sometime in September. Preservation Awards Subcommittee members, I will be in touch with you about getting together. We need to post the information on the website for this and get the word out for nominations. Okay, any questions? All right. So 8J is TPCHC, the Historic Preservation Advisory Working Group. Commissioners Erickson and Lamb.
This is Commissioner Lamb. So the Historic Preservation Advisory Working Group will not be meeting in August. Our next meeting is planned for September 11th at noon via Zoom. And one agenda item that will be discussed at that meeting is, you know, a look at the Pima County cultural landscape definition.
Okay, any questions on that? Okay, item 9 is monitoring and preserving historic buildings and landscapes owned by the City of Tucson. Commissioner Scoville, do you have anything?
Just sort of, for Desiree, just a little bit of a reminder, hoping to reschedule a magnetic observatory tour to get inside the buildings and do a little greater evaluation about the issues with that. And then my usual lament about the Atkins property, and I don't know if there's any other grants, ideas, or as something out there, because we've got one corner that's actually two corners now being propped up, and it's caught up in that sort of debate between it's on the parade ground for the military era, but it also represents very strongly people living out in the desert in that area, Fort Lowell. So anyway, those are the two concerns, especially the magnetic, because I want to get those inspected, and hopefully we have not get too many more rains in August, even though we need the rains. So I'm torn. That's it.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Just to quickly respond, so regarding the magnetic observatory, yes, that is still on our radar. We're trying to follow up with Park, so I'll ping them again and try to get something on the calendar soon. Related to that, Parks will be bringing a courtesy review to historic landscapes for Udall Park at some point. I don't think we've discussed a date yet, but there will be something in the future. So I'll also make sure to keep you in the loop on that, Ken, in case you want to attend that meeting.
Oh, I probably will watch it.
And then Atkins, city and county leadership will be meeting to discuss that soon. I don't have any updates, but that is moving. I know it's slowly. It's been slow, but that is still, you know, on everyone's radar and something that we'll have updates soon, hopefully.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Okay, item 10 is update on archaeological site damage at the border. Does anyone have anything they would like to report? I'm going to look at screen one here and see what I see. I don't see any hands up on either screen. Okay, so there's no report, no update. Okay, item 11 is Commissioner's summary of current events. If you'd like to speak, go ahead and raise your hand, please. I see Mahler.
Yeah, I'll mention
ahead,
that I have every, yeah, I'm speaking. That every month I have a talk that's given the Tucson History Social that's now at the Sosa Carrillo House every third Thursday. This month it'll be on the 27th, so the fourth Thursday. But I'll get information to you so you can get it distributed, everybody. This month's topic is always on a person, place, or event in Tucson's history. This month is going to be the Presidio in pieces, putting together what we know and don't know about what the Presidio looked like from fragmentary records, sketches, and eyewitness accounts. And then next month, I think, will be the Camp Grant massacre again. So.
Nice. Thank you so much for that.
Item 12 is called Presidio event on the 20th.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Rhonda, sorry, I didn't mean to miss you.
No, that's okay. I just raised my hand last minute. Just wanted to share with the commissioners. I did meet with Mariana at the Tucson Museum of Art. If you wanted to go view the items that are currently in the 1976 time capsule, they will be pulling them down on August 28th. So sometime after the Presidio event is over, we can kind of start updating on where we are as to preservation and some of the items that are in there. But there's some great stuff in there. And if you haven't got a chance to see it, you might want to head down to the Museum of Art before the 28th.
Great. Thank you.
Kathy?
Speaking of the time capsule, I wondered if they are taking suggestions for materials to go into the new time capsule.
Yeah, we'll be doing, so Rhonda, you and I and Mariana are meeting, right? And so we will distribute that to the commissioner. Well, the commission will be one of the groups that is contacted, but yes, there will be an opportunity. Ken?
Okay, thank you.
A couple of things. Just wanted to, gosh, I think I'm going to have a senior moment right now. I've got too many items going on in my brain right now. Well, I know I have two items because I tend to hang on things. I've got a poster from 2000, the birthday, and then that was the other thought that was having. For this year, for 2025, they didn't do a poster, but they sort of did a card that they were handing out that showed all the murals. And then I ran over to the Postal Museum and got those first day stamp on those cards that had all the pictures on it. So those are two items I would like to submit for the time capsule that's coming up so they can get those two pieces of what we did for different birthdays.
Yeah, and we'll provide information.
Yeah, they'll be looking for submissions, but most of the items that are currently in the 1976 tend to be a lot of paper items, not a lot more that can be digitized, that we will be digitizing the 3D items. However, a lot of the things that are on paper are not on acid-free paper. They're not held up for preservation. They have held up really well, but I know that as they want to rebury them, we'll be working with reproductions to get those on acid-free safe paper to get put back into the time capsule. So definitely hold on to those items, Ken, and see if you can get them on great paper. And once we do the submissions, we'll add that to the list.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, everyone. Any other current events?
Oh, a current event.
That we want to share? Okay.
It's a little early, but Modernism Week is going to be the first week in November. And I'm... Damien requested that I'm going to do a bus tour of the Miracle Mile area, then a longer stop and interpretation of the restoration of Ghost Ranch Lodge.
Okay, and if we get an announcement in plenty of time, because there's a lot of sign-ups involved in these kind of things, then we can distribute it early to the commission so that they know.
Okay.
So, Ken, I'll leave that up to you.
Sure.
Okay, so we'll move on to item 12. No, wait. Tim, you have a question.
It's not really a question. It's just something I just wanted to, I think, kind of make everybody aware of. Deed fraud is on the rise, and the Pima County Recorder's Office offers a service that they kind of monitor if you have a property that you own, and will give you alerts. So folks should sign up for that free service.
Hmm. Okay, well, thank you. Ken, did you have something else? Your hand still up?
No, I didn't. No, I'll get it. I'll get it down.
Okay, I wanted to be sure you didn't. Okay, thank you. Okay, item 12 is called to the audience. Tracy, did we receive any communications by the posted deadline?
No, we did not.
Okay, thank you. Item 13 is thoughts on inclusivity. Does anyone have a thought they wanted to share? Okay, I'm looking at screen 2 of all your faces and icons. Nothing. Okay, none. Item 14 is schedule and future agenda items. Please contact me by no later than August 28th if you have something for the September 9th agenda. And just so you know, I always remind our great staff from the city and county of, you know, I alert them a few days before the agenda goes in. Do they have anything other than their regular report? So if you do, city and county folks or DTM or South Tucson, let me know earlier if you can, because then I can plan a meeting that doesn't have 30-minute reports or something, you know? That's what I mean. So, all right. That's all I have. So I hope to see you all next week. And we'll go ahead and adjourn at 1:17. I appreciate everyone attending and making time to do this and for contributing. Tracy, if you and Annie want to